Tractate 22. John 5. 24-30. Part 1. Upon the discourses delivered yesterday and the day before, follows the gospel lesson of today, which we must endeavor to expound in due course, not indeed proportionably to its importance, but according to our ability, both because you take in, not according to the bountifulness of the gushing fountain, but according to your moderate capacity, and we too speak into your ears, not so much as the fountain gives forth, but so much as we are able to take in we convey into your minds the matter itself working more fruitfully in your hearts than we in your ears. For a great matter is treated of, not by great masters, nay, rather by very small, but he who, being great, for our sakes became small, gives us hope and confidence. For if we were not encouraged by him, and invited to understand him, if he abandoned us as contemptible, since we were not able to partake his divinity, if he did not partake our mortality and come to us to speak his gospel to us, if he had not willed to partake with us what in us is abject and most small, then we might think that he who took on himself our smallness, had not been willing to bestow on us his own greatness. This I have said, test any should blame us as overbold in handling these matters, or despair of himself that he should be able to understand, by God's gift, what the Son of God has deigned to speak to him. Therefore what he has deigned to speak to us, we ought to believe that he meant us to understand. But if we do not understand, he, being asked, gives understanding, who gave his word unasked. Lo, what these secrets of his words are, consider well. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoso heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath eternal life. Surely we are all striving after eternal life, and he saith, whoso heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life. Then, would he have us hear his word, and yet would he not have us understand it? Since, if in hearing and believing is eternal life, much more in understanding. But the action of piety is faith, the fruit of faith understanding, that we may come to eternal life, when there will be no reading of gospel to us, but after all pages of reading and the voice of reader and preacher have been removed out of the way, he, who has at this time dispensed to us the gospel, will himself appear to all that are his, now present with him with purged heart and in an immortal body never more to die, cleansing and enlightening them, now living and seeing how that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Therefore let us consider at this time who we are, and ponder whom we hear. Christ is God, and he is speaking with men. He would have them to apprehend him, let him make them capable, he would have them see him, let him open their eyes. It is not, however, without cause that he speaks to us, but because that is true which he promises to us. Whoso heareth my words, saith he, and believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Where, when do we come from death to life, that we come not into judgment? In this life there is a passing from death to life, in this life, which is not yet life, there is a passing hence from death unto life. What is that passing? Whoso heareth my words, he said, and believeth him that sent me. Observing these, thou believest and passest. And does a man pass while standing? Evidently, for in body he stands, in mind he passes. Where was he, whence he should pass, and whither does he pass? He passes from death to life. Look at a man standing, in whom all that is here said may happen. He stands, he hears, perhaps he did not believe, by hearing he believes, a little before he did not believe, just now he believes, he has made a passage, as it were, from the region of unbelief to the region of faith, by motion of the heart, not of the body, by a motion into the better, because they who again abandon faith move into the worse. Behold, in this life, which, just as I have said, is not yet life, there is a passing from death to life, so that there may not be a coming into judgment. But why did I say that it is not yet life? If this were life, the Lord would not have said to a certain man, "If thou wilt come into life, keep the commandments." For he saith not to him, "If thou wilt come into eternal life," he did not add eternal, but said only see. Therefore this life is not to be named life, because it is not a true life. What is true life, but that which is eternal life? Here the apostle speaking to Timothy, when he says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, not to be high-minded, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us all things richly to enjoy, let them do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, to communicate." Why does he say this? Hear what follows: "Let them lay up in store for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of the true life." If they ought to lay up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, in order to lay hold of the true life, surely this in which they were is a false life. For why shouldest thou desire to lay hold of the true, if thou hast the true already? Is the true to be laid hold of? There must then be a departing from the false. And by what way must be the departing? Whither? Hear, believe, and thou makest the passage from death into life, and comest not into judgment. What is this, and thou comest not into judgment? And who will be better than the Apostle Paul, who saith, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may there receive what he has done in the body, whether it he good or evil." Paul saith, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and darest thou promise to thyself that thou shalt not come into judgment? Be it far from me, sayest thou, that I should dare promise this to myself. But I believe him that doth promise." The Savior speaks, the truth promises, himself said to me, "Whoso heareth my words, and believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life, and makes a passage from death unto life, and shall not come into judgment." I then have heard the words of my Lord, and I have believed, so now, when I was an unbeliever, I became a believer even as he warned me, I passed from death to life, I come not into judgment, not by my presumption, but by his promise. Does Paul, however, speak contrary to Christ, the servant against his Lord, the disciple against his master, the man against God, so that, when the Lord saith, "Whoso heareth and believeth, passeth from death to life," the apostle should say, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ"? Otherwise, if he comes not into judgment who appears before the judgment seat, I know not how to understand it. The Lord our God then reveals it, and by his scriptures puts us in mind how it may be understood when judgment is spoken of. I exhort you, therefore, to give attention. Sometimes judgment means punishment, sometimes it means discrimination. According to that mode of speech in which judgment means discrimination, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that a man may there receive what things he has done in the body, whether it be good or ill. For this same is a discrimination, to distribute good things to the good, evil things to the evil. For if judgment were always to be taken in a bad sense, the psalm would not say, "Judge me, O God." Perhaps someone is surprised when he hears one say, "Judge me, O God." For man is wont to say, "Forgive me, O God, spare me, O God." Who is it that says, "Judge me, O God"? Sometimes in the psalm this very verse even is placed in the pause, to be given out by the reader and responded by the people. Does it not perhaps strike some man's heart so much that he is afraid to sing and to say to God, "Judge me, O God"? And yet the people sing it with confidence, and do not imagine that they wish an evil thing in that which they have learned from the divine word, even if they do not well understand it, they believe that what they sing is something good. And yet even the psalm itself has not left a man without an insight into the meaning of it. 4. Going on, it shows in the words that follow what kind of judgment it spoke of, that it is not one of condemnation, but of discrimination. For saith it, Judge me, O God. What means judge me, O God, and discern my cause from an unholy nation? According to this judgment of discerning, then, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But again, according to the judgment of condemnation, whoso heareth my words, saith he, and believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life, and shall not come into judgment, but makes a passage from death to life. What is shall not come into judgment? Shall not come into condemnation. Let us prove from the scriptures that judgment is put where punishment is understood, although also in this very passage, a little further on, you will hear the same term judgment put for nothing else than for condemnation and punishment. Yet the apostle says in a certain place, writing to those who abused the body, what the faithful among you know, and because they abused it, they were chastised by the scourge of the Lord. For he says to them, many among you are weak and sickly, and deeply sleep. For many therefore even died. And he went on, for if we judged ourselves, we should not be judged by the Lord, that is, if we reproved ourselves, we should not be reproved by the Lord. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. There are therefore those who are judged here according to punishment, that they may be spared there are those who are spared here, that they may be the more abundantly tormented there, and there are those to whom the very punishments are meted out without the scourge of punishment, if they be not corrected by the scourge of God, that, since here they have despised the Father that scourgeth, they may there feel the judge that punisheth. Therefore there is a judgment into which God, that is, the Son of God, will in the end send the devil and his angels, and all the unbelieving and ungodly with him. To this judgment, he who, now believing, passes from death unto life, shall not come. For, lest thou shouldest think that by believing thou art not to die according to the flesh, or lest, understanding it carnally, thou shouldest say to thyself, My Lord has said to me, Whoso heareth my words, and believeth him that sent me, is passed from death to life, I then have believed, I am not to die, be assured that thou shalt pay that penalty, death, which thou owest by the punishment of Adam. For he, in whom we all then were, received this sentence, Thou shalt surely die, nor can the divine sentence be made void. But after thou hast paid the death of the old man, thou shalt be received into the eternal life of the new man, and shall pass from death to life. Meanwhile, make the transition of life now. What is thy life? Faith, the just doth live by faith. The unbelievers, what of them? They are dead. Among such dead was he, in the body, of whom the Lord says, Let the dead bury their dead. So, then, even in this life there are dead, and there are living, all live in a sense. Who are dead? They who have not believed. Who are living? They who have believed. What is said to the dead by the apostle? Arise, thou that sleepest. But, quoth an objector, he said sleep, not death. Hear what follows, Arise, thou that sleepest, and come forth from the dead. And as if the sleeper said, Whither shall I go? And Christ shall give thee light. Christ having enlightened thee, now believing, immediately thou makest a passage from death to life, abide in that to which thou hast passed, and thou shalt not come into judgment. Himself explains that already, and goes on, Verily, verily, I say unto you, in case, because he said is passed from death to life, we should understand this of the future resurrection, and willing to show that he who believes is passed, and that to pass from death to life is to pass from unbelief to faith, from injustice to justice, from pride to humility, from hatred to charity, he saith now, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is. What more evident? And now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We have already spoken of these dead. What think we, my brethren? Are there no dead in this crowd that hear me? They who believe and act according to the true faith do live, and are not dead. But they who either do not believe, or believe as the devils believe, trembling and living wickedly, confessing the Son of God, and without charity, must rather be esteemed dead. This hour, however, is still passing. For the hour of which the Lord spoke will not be an hour of the 12 hours of a day. From the time when he spoke even to the present, and even to the end of the world, the same 1 hour is passing, of which hour John saith in his epistle, little children, it is the last hour. Therefore, is now. Whoso is alive, let him live, whoso was dead, let him live, let him hear the voice of the Son of God, who lay dead, let him arise and live. The Lord cried out at the sepulchre of Lazarus, and he that was 4 days dead arose. He who stank in the grave came forth into the air. He was buried, a stone was laid over him, the voice of the Saviour burst asunder the hardness of the stone, and thy heart is so hard, that divine voice does not yet break it. Rise in thy heart, go forth from thy tomb. For thou wast lying dead in thy heart as in a tomb, and pressed down by the weight of evil habit as by a stone. Rise, and go forth. What is rise, and go forth? Believe and confess. For he that has believed has risen, he that confesses is gone forth. Why said we that he who confesses is gone forth? Because he was hid before confessing, but when he does confess, he goes forth from darkness to light. And after he has confessed, what is said to the servants? What was said beside the corpse of Lazarus? Loose him, and let him go. How? As it was said to his servants the apostles, what things you shall loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven.